This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard. Happy Tuesday to you. North America, the mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour intergalactic swag party. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Seattle to Shreveport, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And as always, we come to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How are we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for making us part of your morning. Big show coming up for you. It is a Trash Tuesday, so who or what are you trashing? We'll take out the trash this hour, 37 minutes from now, from yours truly and the rest of the staff. We'll read through and listen to your trashes throughout the morning, so hit us up on Twitter with your trashes. DA on CBS is the handle, DA on CBS. Also, you can dial us up at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, as I mentioned, DA on CBS. Coming up, elsewhere in this show of all shows, we've got Jeff Schwartz, who will join us, NFL analyst, Sirius XM. You saw him on Good Morning Football yesterday, making the round this preseason. Jeff Schwartz later on in the show in the third hour. Is Paxton Lynch already a bust in Broncoland? Is Hugh Jackson now a league laughingstock? NBA, why would the Clippers fire Bruce Bowen from their television broadcast team now? And would you use a public urinal on the street without any walls dividing you from passerbys? That's the question you've got to make if you're across seas today, and we will discuss that coming up here on the show next hour. There's a lot to get to, obviously, but I want to start with the Packers, because the Green Bay Packers are one of the favorites in the NFC. I think the Rams are going to be very good. I think the Vikings are going to be very good. I think the Falcons could be very good. The Eagles obviously could be very good. And I think the Packers could be excellent. People forget, because Aaron Rodgers went down in week 6 of last year, but through those first 5 weeks, we were talking about how Aaron Rodgers was playing the position better than anybody had ever played it. And that includes Tom Brady, Joe Montana, and others. Had Rodgers not gone down, the sentiment was, we are watching a one-man machine lead a team to the promised land, playing the position that's most important on the football field better than anybody ever had played it.
You are a machine of death.
Now, we know that the clock is ticking on Aaron Rodgers. He's in his mid-30s now. This is not a time in his career where I'm sure he's taking years for granted, let alone games, seasons, moments when they're really big for granted. This is a guy that knows I need to take advantage right now, and I think that entire organization feels the same exact way. It's why they drafted three wide receivers this year to supplement his receiving core. It's why they acquired Jimmy Graham. And it's why Aaron Rodgers is openly talking about how the effort's not good enough even during scout team sessions. And yesterday, Aaron Rodgers said he hopes that nobody's taking this thing personally. He says, I hope we're not that soft. The things I'm saying, I don't have some vendetta against anyone. I just care about winning, number one. And I'm going to say and do things that I feel like can advance us. It's going to be tough at some points. It's not a popularity contest. As a human, you want to be liked and appreciated, but I'm trying to win games. That's my job. That's Aaron Rodgers' attitude. And I hope damn well that's the Packers' attitude, because if they only get one Super Bowl appearance, one Vince Lombardi out of Aaron Rodgers' career, I think everybody in Green Bay, including Rodgers and that organization, will be disappointed. He's still got the goods to do it at the most elite level. Which brings us to the Oakland Raiders, who are embroiled in a contract dispute with their best defensive player, Khalil Mack, who's likely one of the five best defensive players in all of football, who's only in his mid-20s, who's in his physical prime, but can't come to a discussion or can't come to a conclusion or an agreement on his contract. Sounds like the Raiders and John Gruden are not negotiating with him. They're saying, you're under contract, you need to come and show up. They're fining him daily. Are they going to keep fining him if this goes through the regular season? Or are they going to waive this and say, just come back and play football for us? No hard feelings. The Raiders are a good young team, but they need Khalil Mack. They've got nobody else on defense anywhere close to Mack. He is the leader, the emotional force on defense. Some say, well, the Raiders will trade him. John Gruden doesn't value him. Gruden doesn't value defense. They'll trade Khalil Mack before they give in to his contract demands. And if they trade him, the Green Bay Packers appear to be an obvious trade partner. Green Bay needs defensive help. They have not had a superstar on defense. Man, maybe since Reggie White, certainly Charles Woodson's a Hall of Famer. Clay Matthews in his prime, very good. But in terms of Khalil Mack, I don't think they've had that guy in the Aaron Rodgers era. Vegas has put the odds on the board. The highest odds of landing Khalil Mack by the end of October in that trade deadline is the Green Bay Packers. Does Vegas know something we don't? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Khalil Mack, their star defensive end, star pass rusher, holding out from training camp. And as far as I can tell, there is not a lot of optimism for getting something done. There's really not a lot of communication. Nothing to feel good about there. No progress between Khalil Mack's representatives and between the Oakland Raiders. So that is why we wait.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. Now, the Packers have two first-rounders next year, and so that would be the pot. Would the Raiders trade one of the best defensive players of the NFL for two firsts? Yeah, they might. Yeah, they might. That's a good pot. Hell, Jimmy Garoppolo went for a second rounder. Two firsts. A lot of teams would love two firsts. Would the Packers give up two firsts? Probably depends on how desperate they are to win and win right now. Here's what I would say, though. I'm not betting on Khalil Mack being traded at this point in time. I know days look dark in Oakland with Khalil Mack and the organization. I know it sounds pessimistic. I know from media reports it seems like it won't get done. The Raiders would be crazy, absolutely crazy, to be trading Khalil Mack at this point in his career. And at this point, they still are looking at, and you know this, man, their arrival in Las Vegas might happen next year. stadium won't be done, but they could play at UNLV. Might happen 2 years from now. Might happen 3 years from now. But that was part of the reason, if not the biggest reason, Mark Davis went out and signed John Gruden to a 10-year deal. He wanted the star power to go into Las Vegas, where the casual football fan would know there's some juice, would have familiar face, recognizable names, and Khalil Mack fits that. If Mark Davis is willing to shell out 10 years of money guaranteed to John Gruden to bridge Oakland to Las Vegas, why would he then put away the dollar bills for his best defensive player who is a star? My guess is the Raiders are going to pay Derek Carr and Khalil Mack, among others, to be those faces to go to Las Vegas to sell the franchise in town. So I don't believe it. I don't think they're going to trade Khalil Mack today, tomorrow, or anytime before October and the NFL trade deadline. I still believe the Raiders will retain Khalil Mack. But does it look bad right now? Yeah, it looks bad. And if I'm the Packers, am I kicking the tires? Am I calling up the Raiders? Am I seeing what the cost is? Oh, absolutely I am. Absolutely I am. I just don't think when push comes to shove, the Raiders will deal away a guy as good as Khalil Mack. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, and on Twitter, DA on CBS. It's a Trash Tuesday, so let us know what you're trashing here on the show. We'll get to those throughout the show. DA on CBS is the Twitter handle you can send those to. We'll get to our trashes later on in the program, later really on in the hour, about 40 minutes past the hour. But when we come back, in Denver, the last pick of the NFL draft has already surpassed a first rounder on the depth chart. Does this mean bust ahoy in Denver? That's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Sweatpants at work zone.
Cooking is the right word because you and Mraz being Madden and Gruden in their prime.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Madden and Gruden in their prime. That's high praise. Wow. Bam. Sean, that's just a football player right there. Welcome back. 20 minutes past the hour. Remember, full episodes are available of the DA show on iTunes. So you want to hear something again? Catch something you may have missed? It's all there. Search DA and CBS and you shall see and be able to download and listen to full episodes. Also, you can do that on our website, daoncbs.com. Mraz absorbs and digests, consumes any and all football content, including reality television football content. Have you watched the Kristen Cavallari Jay Cutler experience?
Full episodes, no. When Jay Cutler does something stupid, get called in by my wife, she's on the Cavallari duty for me. So that's her scene, watches the show, and I tell her, hey, as long as you're going to watch the show for work purposes, can you pause something, let me know, tape something on your phone whenever Jay Cutler sounds stupid.
Okay, so kind of like Nick Saban has his assistant coaches watch film and then go over the game film and bring things to his attention. This is what you have Danielle doing with the Kristen Cavallari show.
Exactly. Am I going to get her to watch Cardinals-Cubs on a Tuesday and let me know what's going on? No. But if she's going to invest her time into watching shows like that, she might as well help me along in the process.
And what is the takeaway?
She's our special teams coordinator. Okay.
What is the takeaway on Jay Cutler on this show?
That he is, frankly, I take it, a lazy husband with no drive.
Is he a lazy football player?
Yeah, I think what you learn is that he's just lazy in general. Basically, now that he's done with football, he has no aspirations to work out or really look into investing his time other than eating on the couch and I guess I'll just drop the kids at school today. Like, he's Mr. Mom at home, but not even a good one.
I was going to say, Mr. Mom suggests that he's cooking and cleaning and doing all the household chores.
No, like, to the point Kristen will ask him every morning, what do you plan on doing today? And it's usually something like this. I don't know. I'm just going to sit here and, you know, whatever. I'll find something to do.
So he really seems like an inspirational leader of men.
Right. So much so that it almost seemed like she hinted that maybe he should think about football again. And then when it almost piqued his interest, she's like, well, remember, this is my time now. Like, it's her time that she doesn't want him going out and playing football. So she can't find a medium of he can't do anything but play football.
So when you watch the Kristen Cavallari show with Jay Cutler.
Well, watch is loose. When I watch the scenes with Jay Cutler.
It does not strike you that perhaps Jay Cutler was misunderstood all these years for being a pouty, bratty, lack of leadership guy that couldn't really rally the troops, that just seemed to be happy to be there and wasn't a huge competitor.
No, he's a Debbie Downer. I watch this show and I go, how is this guy even a leader of a household? Forget the leader of a team. Like, if I am living in the Jay Cutler house, there's nothing inspirational about waking up and having Jay make me some scrambled eggs.
Like, honestly, what do you do all day?
You know how you made fun of Alf, how every show with Alf is, let's hide Alf from this, let's hide Alf from that. That line that we use from episode one is every episode of this show. What are you going to do today, Jay? I'm going to do nothing today. Okay, let's fast forward to Kristen hanging out with her friends. We'll go back to Jay in a half an hour. Jay, what did you do today? I didn't do anything.
What's on tap for you today?
Every episode.
Because Jay Cutler sometimes has some teammates that say he's misunderstood.
No, he's not.
That he was a great teammate, that people have the wrong impression of him. Sometimes you do hear that. But what you're saying is watching him on a daily basis, all of the reputation that he has is true.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He's just a bore. Doesn't even seem like a fun guy you'd want to even like have a beer with on a Friday. He'd be like, oh, get me out of here.
Always.
So everything that we think about Jay Cutler is validated by this show.
Yes. And it almost feels like Kristen Cavallari is trying to push him to not come across that way, and he can't help coming across that way.
I've got a big 2:30 appointment.
If the game tape changes, I'll have my special coordinator, okay. Special teams coordinator, let me know.
Okay. It's a Trash Tuesday, so get in your trashes at 855-212-4CBS on the phones or on Twitter, DA on CBS. A couple of years ago, 3 years ago to be precise, Paxton Lynch was the quarterback of the future in Denver. Peyton Manning was retired. John Elway wanted a franchise guy. He looked at Paxton Lynch, he of the interesting facial hair, the swagger at Memphis, the attitude, the bandana, and said, that's my guy. I want a guy with attitude. I want a guy with confidence. I want a guy that's swagalicious and a leader. He was exactly that at Memphis. He had all the physical tools as well. People said, this guy can be a great quarterback in the league. I had my doubts. Why? The hair. If you saw his hair around draft time, it was just too trying to be cool. There was just something boy bandy trying to be cool about Paxton Lynch, and I didn't trust it. It sounds stupid, but sometimes you can tell a lot about guys just by virtue of their facial hair and how they present themselves in general. But the Broncos wanted to go down that road, and it seemed like a coup. They were able to snatch Paxton Lynch with their first-round draft pick in 2016 after winning the Super Bowl and Peyton Manning retiring, and you're like, John Elway did it again. He landed Peyton Manning, got two Super Bowl appearances out of it and a ring, and now Manning's gone, and he just drafted his next franchise guy. 2.5 years later after that draft, he's the third-string quarterback. Case Keenum is number one. And rookie Chad Kelly has just jumped past him on the depth chart. Now, note that Chad Kelly has had quite a controversial career already. He was originally slated to play football at Clemson, but had friction and clashed with coaches, was eventually dismissed from the football team due to conduct detrimental. Chad Kelly, who is the nephew of Jim Kelly, not the son, but the nephew, couldn't make it work at Clemson. Couldn't make it work. And people said, this kid is a brat. This kid is immature. He'll never get it. He ends up going to East Mississippi Community College, where he spends a season there. has a great season, throws for 47 touchdowns, and then transfers to Ole Miss, but under Hugh Freeze. Not Huge Freeze, Hugh Freeze. And has a good career his final two seasons at Ole Miss. But so little was thought of him in the draft, Chad Kelly ends up going last in the draft. Mr. Irrelevant. He is picked in the seventh round, 253 picks overall. That means 252 players selected before Chad Kelly. This is week two of his preseason ever. And he has jumped Paxton Lynch. Guys, it's apparent what is happening here. The Broncos are on their last breath with Paxton Lynch, exasperated, frustrated, at their wits' end, going, how can this guy not get it in year three? And they're jumping him after a disastrous preseason opener against the Vikings, with fans booing him, and Broncos fans have started a GoFundMe page for the Broncos just to release Paxton Lynch. That's how unpopular he is. It is evident what is happening here. They have jumped Paxton Lynch to the depth chart to try to wake him up one final time. Look, this should have been Paxton Lynch's starting job. They should not have had to sign Case Keenum. After last season, after Trevor Siemian, this was 2 years in the system learning. This was supposed to be Lynch's team, year three. And they had to go out and get Case Keenum. And they drafted Chad Kelly basically on a whim, on a lark. That's the last pick in the draft. You never expect the last pick in the draft to be second string of the depth chart by week two of the preseason, let alone at quarterback. You never. Chad Kelly has performed admirably, but again, it's very early. This is not so much about Chad Kelly. This is a wake-up call to Paxton Lynch. And they are saying Paxton hasn't gotten it yet. He is not committed to the offense. We can't get him to stay late to watch film. He is not a leader. He's a dodo head. He's a pinhead. He's a bozo. He's a kid, and he's not growing up. We've got to jump him with the last pick in the draft to maybe scare the bejesus out of him to possibly light a fire. Because if he doesn't light a fire now, he's gone. He's canned. He's toast. Once you get here, the guy's already a bust. Once you get to the point in time where in year three, you're trying to play mind games with the depth chart with a guy, the guy is gone. He's a bust. Paxton Lynch is a bum. And I hate to say it, but it's true. The guy is a bum. He refused to take education from Trevor Siemian. He refused to take the baton of the organization. He refused to commit himself. Apparently, from reports, he's just not very bright when it comes to absorbing the offense and understanding what is going on and the concepts that are needed. He's not a leader. He's not a worker. He's not in anything. Sorry. If you're using the last pick in the draft to light a fire under a third-string, first-round draft pick quarterback, that first-round, third-string quarterback is already gone. It is time. I declare it right now. Paxton Lynch, officially a bust. It's a shame. Kid's got talent, but kid won't get it. It's a shame, but it's the reality. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Trash Tuesday next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
What kind of pot?
A crock pot.
No, I don't believe I know what kind of pot that is.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, I know what kind of pot that is. It makes delicious treats.
Yeah.
Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember to listen to us on SiriusXM if you're outside your normal listening area. Perhaps your local affiliate's not carrying us. SiriusXM Channel 206.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. The first tweet reminds me that Chad Kelly's technically not a rookie because he was drafted in 2017, but he never played. He had off-season wrist surgery, so really Chad Kelly's first football actions this year. Either way, the guy, it's kind of like how Ben Simmons was a rookie this year. Was he truly a rookie? Didn't really play his true first season. Either way, Paxton Lynch is a debacle. The fact that they've already hopped Kelly ahead of him, just a debacle. It is such a wake-up call to Paxton Lynch. And if you watched one of these recent reality shows revolving around the Dallas Cowboys, kind of like a Hard Knocks, what's the title of it? First Things First? Last Things Last? Mraz, what's the Cowboys show called?
All or Nothing?
All or Nothing.
Amazon Prime.
There is a scene where Jerry Jones slams the table, is visibly furious that the Cowboys not draft Paxton Lynch, that the Broncos were able to maneuver ahead of them to grab him. Guys, this is why Jerry Jones needs to have all of his toys taken away. He is not allowed to operate sharp tools or heavy machinery. Not in building a football team. Jerry Jones is the new Al Davis. He is old. He is out of touch with football building. He's a terrible roster builder, really has always been a terrible roster builder. The only times of success under Jerry Jones' reign in Dallas was when Jimmy Johnson and Bill Parcells were picking the players. All the other times, they were a disaster, except recently when they were able to build a wonderful offensive line and a playoff contender because Jerry's not making picks anymore. But Jerry wanted Paxton Lynch desperately, and how perfect would that have been? Remember, Jerry desperately wanted Johnny Manziel as well. Imagine the Cowboys went down the road of Manziel and Paxton Lynch. On second thought, I wish the Cowboys would give Jerry Jones his power back. How fun would that be to see this type of meltdown in Dallas? Egg on the face of Jerry Jones. The guy is gone. I mean, truly, utterly gone. And there's no coming back. He's Al Davis.
I am a smart Cowboy fan. I know about football.
It's not Jerry Jones.
Let's get to your trashes.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday. My favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, Mraz, who are you trashing?
I gotta trash what seems to be a new fad, at least by me, the amount of people making out online at ice cream stores.
New fad, not by you, but that you've seen.
I've seen. So last night, I rolled into the old local Cold Stone Creamery, and for the second time this summer, I am online. By the way, out the door, beautiful summer night. Shawnee just wants a little ice cream.
Sure.
Standing there, flip-flops, just looking like a fat toad.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking behind me, and I counted, I am not kidding, last night, in front of me and behind, seven separate couples kissing and or making out. And I noticed this earlier in the summer, I think it was in like June, I was at like a Carvel, and the same thing, line out the door, and everybody's just all, kissy, kissy, kissy. We're about to stuff our face with hot fudge, swirly ice cream, a bunch of nuts, a bunch of candy. That's all you want in your mouth, and yet you're making out the whole time you're online. Can we just focus on our orders? And then you get up to the line, and you don't even know what you want. Well, why? Because you've been making out the whole time. Look up and pick something out.
Well, some people might want to stuff, like, their girlfriend or boyfriend's tongue in their mouth instead of the ice cream.
Then don't go to the ice cream store to do it. Stay home on the couch, throw on, you know, some Netflix show, and make out all you want.
Stinky debris.
So you don't like to see love. You don't like to see young people in love.
I don't mind young people in love. Whatever happened, you know, in the 40s, 50s, we held hands, walked to the ice cream store. Do we need to be groping each other now?
So you want to throw back to the 40s and 50s?
I mean, in certain instances, I don't mind a little PDA here or there, but I shouldn't have to see, you know, basically it was like we were on some hill overlooking the Hollywood sign, you know, at Makeout Point. I'm online just trying to get a sundae.
you never were the PDA couple with Danielle?
No, I think she was embarrassed to make out with me in public. They want to be seen with me. It took her a month to put up the wedding pictures.
What'd you order?
I went with cinnamon bun ice cream, smashed up Twix, Reese's Pieces, fudge, and whipped cream.
Oh, my goodness.
Cut
that's
back.
So fat.
I only got the like it version, not the love it, though.
Oh. There was a bigger version.
Yeah, I think it's got to have it, like it, and love it at Cold Stone instead of small, medium, large.
Whoa. Man.
Chubbo.
How many calories is in one of those things?
I refuse to look at the numbers there. You know, that's not. I'm not into the sabermetrics of ice cream. I ignore all the stats. I use the eye test. Fat. OPS does not matter to me in that situation. Fat.
You're not looking at the war of the gotta have it.
You can't look at the war there. That's not the right way. Billy Bean's not building my Sunday. Hefty.
All right, Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
Well, you mentioned some baseball there, Sean, toward the end of that. I'm going to trash Keith Olbermann. I've had it with these announcers on ESPN filling in that have no business being a part of the broadcast booth. Stick to SportsCenter or pieces, other pieces on ESPN. I don't need to hear Keith Olbermann try to do play-by-play because he's the fifth fill-in because they fired everybody else in the company. So on the Yankee game, the Mets are bad enough as it is. I don't need to hear Keith Olbermann basically rip apart the broadcasting business by doing play-by-play.
Okay.
Splash Brothers. More like the Trash Brothers.
This seems to be a weird trend at ESPN. Take guys from behind the desk and put them on games as though they're just interchangeable. They've done this with Reese Davis, Chris Fowler. They've given the biggest, best college football games to Chris Fowler, who was never a play-by-play guy for football, always a studio guy and host of College Game Day, and Steve Levy. All of these guys are SportsCenter anchors or studio hosts, and now they're all calling big play-by-play games. And it really is a shot to actual play-by-play guys because it's not interchangeable. It's two totally different skill sets. And a lot of great play-by-play guys couldn't be great studio guys. All of those guys that we mentioned are really good behind the desk, but it is not the same talent. And for ESPN to do that, it's a little offensive because these play-by-play guys grind their entire lives in minor leagues, community colleges, calling high school games. I mean, look, Bogish might miss my wedding for a Delaware Blue Hens game. And then they're just going to put Steve Levy or Chris Fowler out in a big-time college football game. Really, in reality, it's kind of a joke.
Yeah, so are you saying you want Bogish to call the big Saturday night game?
I would prefer him over Chris Fowler.
That's all right. That's looking out for your guys.
Absolutely.
I like that. That's a gotta have.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah. Well, Fowler's not very good.
I would agree.
He's really in over his head, and Bogish is very good at play-by-play.
You're right. The right guys aren't getting looked at, just the company men being handed the torch.
That's right.
I'd put myself, and I stink over Keith Olbermann in the broadcast booth.
Well, look at Chris Berman. He was always a studio guy.
But Berman had his moments play-by-play-wise.
But it was the same thing. It was just kind of a vanity job for a guy that was there long enough, and so he got to do some play-by-play of Sunday Night Baseball. A few playoff baseball games on radio, ESPN Radio. You got to do the Home Run Derby and then that one Monday night game. It was just like, yeah, let's throw the old dog a bone. Which is such a shame because there's guys like Bogish that have been doing play-by-play for their entire lives at low levels that actually have the craft down.
But when ESPN takes a chance on a young guy, you end up with a Sergio Dip.
Well, I mean, that's an extreme circumstance. And you were out on Friday, right, when I fought with Pete Prisco?
No, I was here.
Oh, okay.
Boy, you're losing track of when I'm here and when I'm not.
Yes.
Busy guy.
You're all over the place. And Prisco was arguing that for a young quarterback, just move the carcass off the road and get the next young quarterback in. That if you don't have it, you don't have it. And that it doesn't matter if you're surrounded by a bad team or not. If you're going to be great, you're going to be great. I think Sergio Dip was my argument. I should have thought of this, but if Sergio Dip did some sideline for, I don't know, East Bay Community College on a couple of radio broadcasts and then moved up to like Fox Sports Southwest and then moved up to an ESPN noon game between Indiana and Northwestern and then they gave him the Monday night gig, he would have been fine. But he melted down because that was his first real gig. Little progression. Yeah, you need to build.
That's why you have a minor league system in baseball. You don't jump a guy right to the majors.
This is the NFL.
That's Sergio Dip. And we're never going to see Sergio Dip again, ever.
Is this going to be the one-year anniversary or a two-year anniversary?
1 year.
Wow, that's a long year for Sergio Dip.
The biggest stage possible. When you
dip, I dip, we dip. Oh, yeah. I am trashing the people on Twitter where if I criticize anybody, they suggest that guy should beat you up. I just got this about Kawhi Leonard because we'll get to this story next hour, but the Clippers either fired Bruce Bowen because Kawhi Leonard's team told them, hey man, we're not signing in LA if Bruce Bowen is still your color commentator, or they fired Bruce Bowen because they were worried Kawhi Leonard wouldn't sign because Bruce Bowen's on the broadcast team. Either way, I think it makes Kawhi Leonard look really soft. I said soft as marshmallow fluff. And of course, there's the guy on Twitter that's like, you would never say that to Kawhi Leonard's face. That guy, Kawhi, should come and beat you up. Kawhi should come and beat you journalists up. Like, and this guy is in his 50s or 60s. This is a grown man. This is not an 18-year-old that figures, yeah, beating up somebody is the perfect way to combat criticism. Look, I would tell Kawhi Leonard, and I think the evidence is on this show, if we have somebody like a T.O., I will openly ask them critical questions because I'm not really that worried. And if I see T.O. at a Super Bowl, he's going to ice me down. He's going to freeze me out. He's going to look daggers through me, but I don't really care. I mean, I really don't care. It's not like I haven't had a punch thrown at me my entire life. Not scared of that. I would tell Kawhi Leonard, man, are you not going to sign in L.A. because Bruce Bowen isn't there? Man, that's soft. I would absolutely say that. But either way, the idea that professional athletes or anybody can't handle criticism without saying, yeah, they should fight you. Zach Smith should fight you, D.A. Urban Meyer should fight you. D.J. Durkin should fight you. Kawhi Leonard should fight you. I mean, honestly, guys, if that is where your kind of end game is for criticism, I mean, honestly, let's get real. Let's grow up. Let's live in this real world where not everything has to end up with throwing hands. It's stupid. It's immature. It's dopey. Not everything has to end with, oh, fight you, like it's eighth grade.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Marco Belletti makes me smile every day because this is a man that has told me, D.A., I've got enough problems in my life. I don't need to care about what other people think about me, which is exactly what we're talking about here. Who cares what other people think about you? It doesn't always have to end in throwing hands. So, Marco Belletti walks in today looking cheerful and chipper and bright and cheery. It's looking great. Is that a Led Zeppelin graphic tee?
It is.
Yesterday was a Goodfellas graphic tee.
Okay. I don't remember.
You don't even remember?
Come on.
The graphic tees all get mixed
up. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of them in the closet. I don't know which one I wear.
I love having you here on the show. And so it's Trash Tuesday. This is one of the rare Marco Belletti Trash Tuesdays. Marco, who are you trashing?
Again, this is kind of therapeutic for me. I'll get this quick because this is a very long story. But bottom line is, bought a house about 6 months ago. Old house, old stuff. Got the prior owner to get that homeowner's insurance to kind of get the appliances under warranty for a year. All right, so the fridge goes out. That happens. Fridge is old. Got to be 40. It's older than me. Okay. So the guy comes, warranty, $100. Come the repair guy. Yeah, I can't fix this. I'm going to recommend they get you a new one, but it's their homeowner's. It's their decision. Apparently, they needed a month to get some sort of quorum together, to deliberate, to make this decision.
Wow, Jedi Council.
Then they decided, you know what? We're going to special order this 40-year-old compressor for you.
Oh, nice.
Because, you know, why not? That makes sense. Let's get the antique and let's dust it off, find it, bring it in.
So the fridge is older than you and the compressor.
Yeah. So they get the delivery guy finally to come out. Now, this is a month in between. He comes out. I'm off an overnight. That nice big window of 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. I think, hey, it's coming up Belletti. Guy shows up at 11:30. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get some sleep today.
Coming up Belletti.
Here we go. Guy's in there in the kitchen. Bing it a bang it a boom, dong, ding, ding, ding. I'm in the living room, and I'm like, all right, okay, here we go. All right. It's 2:30. 2:30.
Ooh.
Kai comes to me, and he goes, I'm sorry, this compressor just doesn't fit. My initial reactions, what the hell have you been doing for the last 3 hours? I was trying to make it fit. How? I mean, honestly, overhead luggage, after a while you give up, right? The thing doesn't fit. I mean, how hard is it to figure it out? So here we got. Now, I'm going to again recommend they get you a new fridge. I still don't have the working fridge.
Ooh.
This is from the beginning of July. And we have no resolution. The home warranty company has yet to give us the deliberation.
Where are you keeping your food since early July?
We got my wife's uncle to give an old fridge that's in the garage. So after a couple weeks, we got a different fridge that's in the garage. Old, beat up, but it works.
Trash these guys. Wow, that's incredible.
Trashing is fun.
When we come back, why would the Clippers fire Bruce Bowen? And where can Marco Belletti keep his vegetables? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.